just in. It's time for the wrestling show to take a very cynical look back at representing the WWE and live from the Pfizer Forum in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. It's Friday Night SmackDown, air date March the 22nd, 2024. This episode is the Road to WrestleMania. So, let's go in.
Welcome to All Wrestling Show. I'm your most fickle host, Lip Hazelywood, and this is a very cynical look back at the latest episode of Friday Night SmackDown. But before we dive into the show, just a quick shout out to the non-competitors. That's right, they are the glue that holds the building together. Now, first and foremost, representing the general manager, it's Nick Aldis. And today we have nobody doing any backstage scoops or pre-match interviews, so we go right to the ring with the officials. The officials and the team of referees today are, of course, Charles Robinson, Dallas Irvin, Dan Engler, and Jessica Carr. And, of course, letting everybody know who's about to fight and results of such matches, it's, of course, Mike Rome, and least we forget, it's the commentary crew, the play-by-play guys, the hosts, and I call them the narrators of the whole damn show. They are the team of, he's the man with the, well, they're both impeccably dressed, but he's the man with the extremely handsome and very reliable Corey Graves with, of course, the man with a raspy yet soothing voice. Personal, I think he's one of the best commentators out there. Future Hall of Famer for sure. He's got a personal man crush on him. Not afraid to say it's Wade Barrett. Now, without any further kadoos, let's get on with all the show. And I gotta say, the show today has only a 4 matches on the card. Mm-hmm. I was shocked. But of course, who's not there today? It's as usual. It's the Judgment Day. You know, the your tag team champions. Not there, of course. And why would they? Why would they? They never show up on SmackDown. They're like Roman Reigns. But Roman Reigns is there today. They barely show up. They barely show up to SmackDown. But Roman Reigns, that's his only job. And he's rarely there. He's rarely there. But today, he is to be there. So with that said, we go on with what happened. What starts off the show? What starts off the show? It is a grudge match. Rey Mysterio and Santos Escobar. That's right. And this one here is, of course, it's unfortunate that this team is fighting. This the LWO, Latino World Order, versus Legado del Fantasma. 2 Latino teams, there can only be one, I guess. It's like the Highlander. There can only be one. So they got the feud. Rey Mysterio, he makes everything about himself. And, you know, Santos Escobar had enough. It's about us. And regardless, but the history of what happened between Santos and Rey Mysterio, you know, what happened with this match. Now, Rey Mysterio, he's a veteran. He's been wrestling for a good 50, 60 years. A long time in the biz. Santos Escobar, one of the upstarts who's a future Hall of Famer for sure. This guy can tear it up in the ring, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Now, you would think this match would be a barn burner, a knuckle duster, but however, it was not. This was quite the opposite. This had a lot of good intentions. This showcased, of course, Santos Escobar, his skills in the ring, how to recover from mistakes. Now, with that said, this match was about 12 and a half minutes long. And refereeing this match was Jessica Carr. Now, this match was fraught with problems from the design of the match. Because it would seem that if this was a no-holds-barred match, sure, it would kind of work. But it isn't, so it doesn't. So this match here. We got the first situation where things went wrong with maybe because Rey Mysterio, who was out for a long time, he with the so-called quote-unquote knee injury. Santos Escobar, he put him out for months, months and months and months. And apparently shows, now, Rey Mysterio, he has such a high level of wrestling. And if his body can't keep up with his wrestling ability, oh, tough things happen. Because Rey Mysterio, his matches, you can't be a schlub to wrestle Rey Mysterio's match. You gotta know your shit. But here's the thing, here's the problem. Rey Mysterio, he's just kicking arse. Right? He goes for a springboard. He jumps, runs to the ropes, goes for a springboard, I think a cutter, maybe. See, here's where the problem is. He goes for the springboard and his knee just gives right out. Or maybe he just forgot how to do the move in mid of doing the move. Hey, we all lose focus. It happens. So he fumbles his move. He basically falls down. Santos Escobar catches him and makes sure the move is kind of looks like it's done. To comment, Corey Graves, he kind of mentions that, that was a tough one. But he managed to pull it through. Santos Escobar, he sells this because Santos Escobar is a professional. This move here where he saves Rey Mysterio's life. I'll get your head. And he gives him, regardless. And then next up, we got ourselves the next move. Rey Mysterio, he's using his Lucha skills. A typical Lucha Libre skill is you grab your opponent by the hand and you both run to the ropes while you run up the ropes and then you jump off top, head scissors him, hurricanrana. Typical Lucha Libre move. Now that was intention of it. So Rey Mysterio, he grabs a hand, jumps up the ropes, but his knee again, his leg gives out and he falls off. That wasn't supposed to happen. But because Rey Mysterio, he's been doing it for 60 years or so, he managed to pull through this one here. But it was pretty tough. It was pretty tough to watch. Now, it gets weirder. This match just gets from the mistakes made in the ring to actual what's going on with the rules. So what we know is, at least what I know, is if you use your opponent as a projectile and throw him into the ring post, throw him into the table, throw him into the steel steps, throw him into the chair, throw him into the barricades, it doesn't matter. It's perfectly fine. But as soon as you use the inanimate object on your opponent, disqualificazione. So here's the thing. They fight outside, and during the commercial break, apparently this happened, they had to show it. Rey Mysterio, he had his leg caught into the, between the steel post and the steel steps. And just like the time where he was taken out, injured, the first time he was, when Santos were dropped to kick the steel steps, crushed his leg between the steps and the post. He did the same thing, recreated the moment. You think, oh my goodness, is this going to be, now two things. One, is this an illegal move? Because you didn't throw Rey Mysterio into the steps. You used the steps as a weapon. That is a legal move. Jessica Carr should have disqualified it right there. Match over. Rey Mysterio wins due to disqualification. But however, due to poor match design, this match goes on. And number two, with the knee in there, do you think perhaps his knee is injured yet again? You put him out for months? No. Apparently, I'm not even sure why it was there. It did nothing to his knee. As a matter of fact, got stronger. Got stronger, Rey Mysterio did. He turned things around. Did a lot of high-flying moves. Another one he does. Now, if his knee was truly banged up, he did a typical sit-down Santon. Top rope, sit-down Santon onto, Santos Escobar. Fine and dandy. Now, here we go. Things go upside down again. They take the fight outside. Rey Mysterio, he wants to set up the table for some big move with Santos Escobar. And he grabs the bunting on the ring, on the commentating table. Grabs the bunting off the commentating table. It is wood. And he bashes Santos Escobar enough across the head with it. Jessica Carr, it's not supposed to end that way. So, it's like, what? That's another disqualifying move right there. Rey Mysterio should have been disqualified. So that's two times in this match where questionable decisions. Actually, third time. Anyways. Now, with that said, they're fighting outside. They fight outside for a while. Now, there could have been a very disastrous move here. Rey Mysterio, he has Santos Escobar. He's Santos Escobar sitting on the barricade that's separating the timekeeper's area from the commentating table. He's sitting there, and Rey Mysterio jumps on a commentary table, does a sit-down Santon yet again. Now, the problem is that is, they avoided disaster, because Santos, when he came down like a pendulum, and his head could have just bashed right off the ground. Could have been really bad. Could have been bad. But what is bad in this part, this outside mesh section, is they fight outside for a minute and 20 seconds. Minute and 20 seconds. 25 seconds. If the match was supposed to end in a countout, they usually stretch to 25 seconds. Actual seconds is a 10-second count. Roughly. Minute and 20 seconds. Ridiculous. So, ends up, Rey Mysterio is throwing Santos into everything, like the steel post, ring post, and then ends up throwing Santos into the ring, and as to referee protocol, the referee had to turn her back on what's going on to make sure Santos Escobar is ready to fight again. He's in the ring, he's not going to go outside the ring. I don't know what they're going to talk about. Anyways, Rey Mysterio is about to get into the ring, and his leg is pulled by a masked fellow, Rey Mysterio mask wearing fellow. And surprisingly enough, it is a Mysterio wearing that mask when he takes it off. It is Dominic Mysterio. Once again, giving it to his deadbeat dad. You will not win this time. You deadbeat. And then Rey Mysterio is like, whoa, I might be a deadbeat dad, but how come you do that to me? Why? They didn't say any of that. But Rey Mysterio is all like choked up and just focused on his son, Dominic Mysterio, outside of the ring, where he doesn't see Santos Escobar get his shit together. And then with a 619, that's right, a Rey Mysterio 619. Not the Dominic Mysterio, Rey Mysterio 619 hits Rey Mysterio with that. And then gets him on top of his shoulders. The old fireman's carry? The Phantom Driver, fireman's carry to the Falcon's Arrow. Ends it. So this match, yeah, it happened. Wrestling happened, but this was terrible. This was a bad match. But after the match, it's Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio walking off together. He goes, hey, that's right. This guy here. So who knows? Is there going to be some sort of a formation of factions? Dominic Mysterio and the Judgment Day? The Judgment Day? It's the Judgment Day. And the Legado del Fantasma? Who knows? We'll see, find out soon enough, maybe. Or not. So with that said, we go backstage with Bayley and finding Naomi backstage. Now, Bayley had a couple things to say, and they're all good because she appreciates. She truly appreciates. Because Bayley's going through some tough times with Damage Control. Damage Control has decided that they not only just want to kick out Bayley, but kick her ass and beat her up for some reason, just to add insult to injury. So Naomi, she feels for that, so she stepped in, and Bayley's basically thank her for her help. And then Bianca Belair steps in. She's like, no, no, no. And she's like, all the times Bayley and Damage could attack me, she deserves everything. She just deserves it. And then before they can get involved, because they just get in her face, Bayley and Bianca gets into Bayley's face, and Bayley like, no. Anyways, they start, it gets heated. And then Naomi, the only one with a clear head in this whole situation, apparently. I call her Naomi the Wise, because she's apparently, I got a lot of respect for Naomi these days. She's showing a lot of character. And she's showing some, her navigation is pointed the right way. She's definitely a good inspirational model, maybe. So she gets down. She splits the two up, you know. And then she has a talk with, Bianca Belair. Naomi and Bianca Belair. And, she says she basically validates Bianca Belair's opinion on Bayley. But here's the thing, about her feelings towards Bayley. But here's the thing, the past is basically the past. And if Naomi could have done something about it, she would have. But it is the past, so you got to get over that. But here's the thing, Naomi will never back down on her decisions. And here's the thing, Naomi realizes that she can't do this alone. She understands, just like her husband's bloodline. You know, Roman Reigns, he knows he can't do it on his own either. That's why 90% of his matches, 90, maybe 95% of all of Roman Reigns' title defenses, he needs help. He needed help. And that's basically the same thing. You need a team, basically. Can't do this on your own. I can't do it on my own. And you couldn't do it on your own either. But I'm here for you. Know that. So that's really inspirational, Naomi. I really respect Naomi. So now moving on to our next match. It is for the Tag Team Championship qualifiers to get into the six-pack challenge at WrestleMania. Now this one here, it's the up-and-coming team of, Austin Theory and Grayson Waller versus the OC, which is the original club. It's Karl Anderson and Luke Gallows, who's been doing nothing in the main roster for quite some time, years they haven't been doing anything, you know. So I figured they are brought in here just as a filler team. And I was right. So this match here was about a little under seven minutes. And the referee of the match was Dan Engler. Now, referee does not care. Dan, he does not care about tag ropes because tag ropes do not matter. They're used sometimes, but not used sometimes, which is ridiculous. So here's the thing. So I find this really ridiculous. Now, in the match here, Karl Anderson, he's grabbing the ropes there. In order to tag in, he lets go of the ropes to tag. What is that? The ropes there so you hold the rope so you can tag so it makes legal. So if you let go of the ropes, what's the point of having the rope in the first place? Ridiculous. So yeah, this match goes a lot of back and forth, you know. But here is move on. What happened to the match? Now, over here, we got ourselves, where I think Mi Chin actually gets involved with the match. You know, where I think Austin Theory, Grayson Waller, he tries to sneak around the other side, but he gets caught by Mi Chin. She gives him an arm drag. Nice move. But here's how the match ends. Karl Anderson, he gets tagged in and he starts machine gunning everybody down. Starts crushing everybody, especially Austin Theory, because he was just crushing Austin Theory with a nice Santon bomb, running Santon. And here's the thing. Karl Anderson, he has to have the greatest looking neck breaker in all of wrestling. Now he goes off the second rope and he jumps straight out and he catches you and neck breaker. It is more beautiful than a blockbuster. Blockbuster looks great, but this one here makes a blockbuster look duty. So that was the move of the night, I think. So here we go. It is the final sequence of the match. Now, this match was about under seven minutes, Dan Engler referee. Okay, so the OC, they try to set up for the magic killer. And that's when Grayson Waller comes in. No, not on me watch. Not on my watch. He pushes Austin Theory to safety. And then he punches, one punch, knocks the holy hell out of Karl Anderson. He gets, and he's knocked out. Going to nap now. He falls asleep. He's outside the ring. And then it's Luke Gallows. He takes it up to him and he clotheslines the holy hell of Grayson Waller. Outside the ring, he's out there. However, inside the ring is hilarious. The ending. It's a schoolboy. Rolls him up. He puts his legs on the ropes. Dan Engler's down there, just really making sure that he can only see the shoulders that's down. Even though a referee needs to take a bigger picture. Your referee, you need the big picture. His shoulders are just part of the picture. You know, you got to be the... So anyways, he has to just focus on that because behind Grayson Austin Theory, he puts his feet on the ropes and then Grayson Waller holds him down. And holding his feet down on this move absolutely does nothing for leverage on holding him down. Only thing Luke Gallows has to do is roll to the side. And that's all the leverage gone. It's like, really? So anyways, this match was duty. And moving on in this championship tournament, it is, of course, Theory and Grayson Waller. Now, of course, that happened because Carl Anderson, Luke Gallows can go right back down to the NXT and do whatever they've got to do, push other people to greatness or something like that, because they haven't done anything. So, yeah. So, on bracket two, Theory and Waller are looking to beat or face either the Street Profits or the AOP. The AOP. Mm-hmm. Authors of Pain. The Aquilites of Protection. That's not true. Anyway, so next up, we got ourselves a match in the women's division. It's Naomi versus representing the Damage Control. It's Io Sky. Now, on Io's corner, she's got the entire team there. You know, she's got Damage Control outside. Actually, yeah. Now, before this match starts, we got ourselves backstage. Now, it was, Naomi outside in the ring there waiting for Io Sky. But then backstage, Io takes out Bayley. So she's stomping a mud hole in Bayley. So it's very interesting. But however, this match here was, it was very good. It was a very good match. This match was a lot of back and forth. You know, with Naomi with a massive high cross body off the, you know. But here we go. Naomi also brings out a new move. It's the crotch drop, the V drop, I call it. The Vagine drop. She, on the ropes, she jumps up and does a split leg and lands on top of Io Sky. Now, here's the thing. They had the big movement. The big movement of the match was a, second rope superplex. Now, just when Naomi was on a run, we got ourselves the rest of Damage Control. That's right. They came charging in. And it's Dakota Kai. She jumps on the ring apron and then she's knocked off by Naomi. Referee was Charles Robinson. Charles Robinson. He says, oh, whatever. You know, I can let that go. She didn't really punch, Naomi. She didn't hit Naomi. So it's ridiculous. So with that, Naomi's distracted. And then she just gets pulled off. She gets pulled off the top. She gets pulled off the second rope. Pulled off the second rope by her leg. And she falls on her face. And that was enough for her to lay there to take the over-the-moon salt by Io Sky. And it is Io Sky with a big victory over Naomi. Now, after the match, Naomi gets, it's 4-on-1 now. All Damage Control just beat up Naomi. Naomi does her best to fight them off, but it's at the end. It was Asuka with her Omicron mist right to the face. And then it's it for Naomi. But however, we got ourselves some Bianca Belair. She runs to ring there. She takes out Dakota Kai. She throws her right to the steel steps. Looks like she just pancakes herself right on there. It looked pretty massive. Of a throw, but regardless. We go in the ring there, it's Bianca just takes out everybody. You know? Kairi Sane, she gets like a massive, spine buster. It's huge. And then she gets Kairi, she puts her up into, she gets her the Glamazon, the Glam Slam. And she picks her up for, she's beat everybody, but this is Kairi, Kairi's getting the worst of it. She picks her up for the kiss of death, but it's Dakota Kai getting back in the ring there, taking out her knee. And then it's the four on one again. They start beating down on Bianca Belair. Then it's Naomi. She crawls over to try to take some of the blows from, take some of the hits off of Bianca to herself. It was a really touching situation. With Bianca and Naomi. So we're going to see. The thing, of course, is going to be Bianca, Naomi, and Bayley. Somehow they're going to get together and they're going to take out Damage Control. So with that said, we go backstage with Nick Aldis and Cody Rhodes. I guess they're talking about, Cody's talking about he's there alone. And Paul Heyman back there, like pulling Nikki Cross. You know, back there. Ooh, find Nikki. Fine, Nikki. So he's back there. Oh, he's alone. Okay. He calls up the Roman Reigns. Okay, with that said, we go backstage still, and it's with Bianca Belair with getting some help with Naomi, getting some water into her face. And that's where Tiffany Stratton comes in there, adds her two cents to the whole situation. Doesn't help. But she said, that's a good look
for you, Naomi.
So yes, we're probably going to see a future match between Tiffany Stratton versus Bianca Belair. I would like to see that. Tiffany Stratton, Bianca Belair. That would be a great match, I would assume. So with that said, we go backstage with Nick Aldis and Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens wants to know stuff about, they're just rambling stuff. They're just nonsense about, WrestleMania. And then that's when they get barged in on with Pretty Deadly. Elton Prince, Kit Wilson come there. They want to talk about stuff too. And Kevin Owens, and he's like, what are you doing here? Blah, blah, blah. They start going back and forth. And then a match was challenged. Kevin Owens challenges them to a tag team match next week. That's right. And Pretty Deadly's like, yeah, well, who are you going to tag team with? Because you got no friends, but he's got associates, and one of his associates is right there, and he asks him, and that's when Elton Prince loses his shit. Oh, no! Whoa, 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 whoa. Falls backwards, because he finds out that his partner would be Randy Orton. Who knew that they'd be partners? Who knew? Team RKO, Randy and Kevin Owens. So, yeah, Randy Orton says, I accept. And one thing, Randy Orton, he really appreciates Elton Prince's jacket. Nice leather with the tassels going off there. Leather tassels, very tribal style. Indian, native, I should say. Because my father used to wear a jacket just like that. I appreciate that. So anyways, now with that said, we move on. And it's with Pretty Deadly. Squabbling, goes, oh, I get it. There's going to be a match next week. And you get these. And Nick Aldis said, don't stand too close together. And I guess Kevin Owens' new thing is to punch two people with one fist, hitting two birds with one stone, so to speak. He punched Grayson Waller and, Austin Theory with one punch. And he did it again. He punched Kit Wilson and Elton Prince in the face with one punch. Now, with that said, now this is hilarious. Hilarious. We got ourselves a spot here where it's apparently... It's a WWE camera crew decided to record a spot location. They wanted to record AJ Styles, his WrestleMania workout. So they're at his house for the WrestleMania workout. And just so happens, this is where LA Knight decides to attack AJ Styles at his house. Now, this is where it gets really hilarious. It gets strange. They're not really sure how to shoot this anymore. Tape it as a segment, or like cops in WWE. So they had no idea what to do. So this thing, why it fell apart is this. LA Knight is about to attack AJ Styles, and somehow the camera cuts out, because the only cameraman there was hit so bad his camera went out. And apparently he was hit so bad when a cop showed up eventually. With the cop cam on, you've noticed that the cameraman is not only knocked out, but knocked out of existence. He just disappeared out of the stratosphere. Where's the cameraman that was supposed to be there? They got knocked down. Gone. So this whole thing, it turns into a Patty Mayo ridiculous video. When it was a Patty Mayo skit. So the fake cop, it's so ridiculous. So yeah. They eventually arrest LA Knight. AJ does not press charges. I'll be back! You mark my word! Hey, by the way, I respect you guys as police officers, but I'm going to be back here. Ridiculous segment. Yeah. But it happened. It didn't need to happen. It wasn't that long. I mean, what? They really had to cut out just so... Oh, we can't... whatever. It's ridiculous. A ridiculous segment. Oh, so we start with their next match. The main event match of the night, and apparently the match of the night too. This is for the this is a tag team qualifiers for the six pack challenge. This is bracket two. This is the Street Profits, Angelo Dawkins, Montez Ford versus the AOP. Now, this what I found was funny in this was that when the Street Profits were coming down there, they had Bobby Lashley at his side and B-Fab. And B-Fab be dressed in fab until she found out that you're not going to be going to the ring. You're not going to be joining them in the ringside. You're going to be watching backstage. And she's like, ooh, no, whoa, 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 whoa. She didn't say that. But anyways, it was a... And, of course, AOP, which is Akem and Rezar. And with them, okay, is with Scarlett, Karrion Kross, and, you know, Paul Ellery. Now, Paul Ellery joined them to the ring. So anyways, this match. We got, now, last time the Street Profits fought, it was, what's that, Angelo Dawkins. He did the massive Tope Suicida. This time it's Angelo Dawkins, it's Angelo Dawkins last time did. This time it's Montez Ford with the massive Tope Suicida. That's what I think they're taking turns. That's all I'm saying in their matches. Now, their problem with that is, Montez Ford is so much smaller. He gets caught. He gets caught by the team, Akem Rezar. And it's that Angelo Dawkins comes in to try to help, and Montez Ford, he gets powerbombed on top of Angelo Dawkins. Wow. Now this match here, before we carry on with the match, this match was about 8.5 minutes, and your referee of the match was Dallas Irvin. Dallas Irvin was a referee of this match. Now here we go. Like I say, tag ropes don't matter in this match, but we got ourselves a hot tag. Montez tags out to Angelo Dawkins. Angelo Dawkins, he, like a house on fire, he just knocks it. He just starts beating everybody up. You know, he has Rezar. He's on the outside. He knocks Rezar off the apron there. And he starts knocking, running around. He starts knocking down Akem. He hits those ropes there. He jumps up. I think it's like a flying elbow, maybe. He knocks him down, and he gets his momentum going. He runs around the ring there, and he just like Braun Strowman, hoo-hoo, runs up the ring. He charges over the much larger Rezar out the ring. It's really weird to see. Inside the ring, Akem, he gets like a suplex neck breaker. Pooh! Knocked down. Now, they try to set up Akem for his finishing move, where, Angelo Dawkins gets Akem on his shoulders and gets, supposed with a huge move, the blockbuster that Montez Ford would do. But that doesn't go well. It's, Angelo Dawkins, he gets knocked out of the ring there. So it's double team now, and it is the massive finishing move there on, the final chapter. They get the final chapter on Montez Ford. But however, it is Angelo Dawkins breaks up the hole, breaks up the move. And then they tag again. So, yeah. Akem tags in, sets the finisher, tags in, Rezar. Rezar tags out, Akem tags in. So then here we go. While they're going to do their finishing move. Akem grabs up the... suplex, right? And then he's about to throw him onto Rezar, where he does a powerbomb, suplex powerbomb thing. But it's Angelo Dawkins. He takes out Rezar. So they're out there. And then after that, it's a finisher where it's Montez Ford. He rolls up a schoolboy. Actually, it's a small package. He small packages from the suplex. He small packages Akem in the ring. 1, 2, 3, moving on in a... In this competition, moving on in this thing is, the Street Profits. So, to finish off bracket two would be Grayson Waller and Austin Theory versus, Angelo Dawkins and Montez Ford. So that is the final match, but we end up with the big finish, which is the face-to-face. It's about 20 minutes ending. Just a face-to-face build up to the WrestleMania, Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes. Now here's the thing. First thing, Roman Reigns, he claims to be a man of his word, and he says there's going to be no bloodline for the show, except for Paul Heyman, but he is another threat. So he calls out Cody Rhodes. And Cody Rhodes comes out there, and Roman Reigns, they had an awkward moment talking to each other. And Roman Reigns, he asks, did you come alone? And Cody says, he's a man with a man of his word, just like you are. So that could mean anything, you know? Will there be people be there? Who knows? So, so now here's the thing. They start talking back and forth, that stuff. What's that? Well, anyways, they got a lot of things to say to each other. It comes down to this. Roman Reigns does not think Cody Rhodes is fit for being the champion. Doesn't think he's fit or thinks he's good for the champion. As a matter of fact, he thinks he's stupid. He says, I think you're stupid. It's like, wow, are you serious? You know? He says you're stupid to me. You're not fit for the running company and stuff like that. And BC says, you know what? You're stupid because you picked Seth Rollins as your partner. And I've been in the shoe. He thinks Seth can be your shield. But I've been in the shoe with Seth Rollins. And look what Seth Rollins, he turned his back. Even though we didn't do good things. But Seth Rollins still turned his back on me. And he will with you. What makes you think he won't turn your back on yourself? And Cody Rhodes talked about Seth Rollins. Yeah. Seth Rollins doesn't like me. He straight up does not like me. But guess what? He likes you even less. And that's what's going to happen. But anyways, it comes down to this. Cody Rhodes turns things around and says, what about you? Who is in charge of the bloodline? Who is the man in the blood? And is it you or is it the final boss? The Rock, if you smell. Who's champion? Who's the guy there? They go back and forth about Cody's, his need for love and his broken problem. They go for the throat. And Roman Reigns says, fine, he's like, well, you're just number two. Number two? If you're number one, wouldn't number two be the other champion? Would number two theoretically be Seth Rollins? But apparently not. So, what's that? Roman Reigns. And they finished talking. And true to their words, there was nobody there backing them up. Roman Reigns leaves the ring and then he calls over. Well, Cody Rhodes wanted a handshake. Hey, let's shake hands. Let's be cordial about things. And Roman Reigns is like, no, no, no. I'm shaking Paul Heyman's hand if I'm going to shake any hand. Anyways, Roman Reigns eventually leaves the ring. And then he snaps his fingers. Does the old Thanos snap. Of course, he had to do it. And his music eventually hits. And then we got ourselves Solo Sikoa and Jimmy! Jimmy Uso comes out there. And they stand by Roman Reigns. And lo and behold, you're coming to, Cody Rhodes' side is Jey Uso and Seth freaking Rollins. So we even things up. And that does wrap things up for this episode of The Wrestling Show. Now, if you've stuck around to the very end of the show, I hold a very special place in my heart just for you. So, stay tuned for another episode. We'll come another day. So for us at The Wrestling Show, we like to say to all our friends out there, you matter. This is Philip Hazelwood saying, see you next time.